Yes, Dick, I'm full of crap. Cheney said I would do it again in a minute. I would love to see all of it done to him. Yeah, I'm not a fan of using any violent treatment. I'm certainly opposed to torture. I'm opposed to really violence of all kinds. I think we are vastly better off when we use words wisely than when we resort to striking others. But there have to be consequences for bad behavior. And there is no worse behavior than authorizing torture. And so, in his case, I see an eye for an eye being an appropriate response. He ought to be waterboarded. He ought to be rectally fed. He ought to be stripped naked. Critics of the interrogation tactics, which should be every rational and informed person on the planet, detailed in a recently released controversial, I don't know why it's controversial. I mean, you do a 6,000-page study of the behavior of the CIA and write a 480-page summary of that. Why would it be controversial? Report contend they should be considered torture and regretted. Yes, they should be. Tactics should be considered torture, and we ought to regret what we have done. But Cheney says there is no moral equivalence between the terrorist actions and the CIA interrogation techniques. Oh, wow. Let's read his statement here and talk about moral equivalence. With respect to trying to define it as torture, I come back to the proposition. Torture was what the Al-Qaeda terrorists did to 3,000 Americans on 9/11, Cheney said in Meet the Press. There is no comparison between that and what we did with respect to enhanced interrogation, end quote. What the Muslims did as suicide bombers, and it wasn't Al-Qaeda, it was just Muslims. I mean, most of these Muslims came from the Al-Qaeda Mosque in Hamburg, Germany. The person that came up with the 9/11 plan, Ramzi Youssef, was not a member of Al-Qaeda. The majority of the perpetrators were Saudi Arabian Muslims. Not a single individual did this on behalf of Al-Qaeda. Not a single one of them. Not a single one of them shouted their allegiance to Al-Qaeda while perpetrating the suicide bombings. All of the 19 who perpetrated the terrorist attack on 9/11 read from the Quran and videotaped wills that they played for their families, justifying what they were doing in the name of Allah and from the Quran. They weren't Al-Qaeda, they were Muslims. And they did not torture. There is absolutely no equivalence between perpetrating torture for a confession and what happened on 9/11. I mean, to imply there was is to say, I am completely insane, and I know that my audience is so stupid that they won't make the distinction. Killing somebody isn't torture. That's just the fact of the matter is. If you're going to kill somebody, you're not torturing them unless your method of killing is specifically designed to be prolonged and especially excruciating. You know, for example, crucifixion is murder and it's torture. Decapitating a person and doing what the Quran orders to smite them on their necks is designed to be extremely painful over a long period of time so that death comes slowly. That's torture. There were no decapitations. There were no crucifixions. There was nothing done on 9/11 that was specifically created to prolong the agony of death. Nothing. There was nothing that was part of 9/11 that can be considered torture. Painful? Absolutely. Murderous? Absolutely. A terrorist act? Absolutely. Torture? Not in a bazillion years, Dick. Wake up. That's only half the equation. But before we get to the other half, Scott, what do you think?
I like that he's going with the two wrongs make a right theory of thinking. they were wrong first, but now we're making it right.
What we did wasn't as bad as what they did. You know, when I debated, and by the way, we haven't even gotten to the worst part of his defense here. When I began debating Muslims after writing Tea with Terrorists and Prophet of Dove, one of the most recurrent themes was the Crusades. And that they would compare Muslims to defend Islam, would compare their treatment of Jews for about a 50-year period in Spain during the transition between regimes and the Crusades. So what they did is they took the worst of Christian behavior and they compared it to the best of their behavior and say, see, we're not as bad as Christianity. Why are you picking on us? And you know something? That argument works on a lot of people because they don't understand that if you compare the worst behavior of one group to your best behavior, you're not exonerating yourself. Moreover, of course, the Muslims had to misstate the purpose of the Crusades, where the Crusaders were actually responding to previous Islamic aggression. And number two, that they really didn't treat Jews well in Spain, not for any period of time. And for the most part, Jews in Spain were treated like Muslims treat Jews the world over. But in this particular case, the argument's even worse, because this is two wrongs. He's comparing the worst behavior of America to the worst behavior of Muslims and saying towards America, and he's saying that our worst behavior towards Muslims isn't as bad as the worst behavior that Muslims perpetrated against us. Now, that is true, that our worst behavior in terms of waterboarding, simulated drowning over days of time, isn't as bad as killing 3,000 people. That is absolutely true. Torturing 1,000 people isn't as bad as killing 3,000. That's not the argument. To position the argument that way and to think that you've made a valid point is moronic. And here's one of the reasons why. Let's say that, in fact, this is a great example. Scott, you're an American citizen, aren't you?
Okay. As far as I know.
Your country kidnapped and tortured over 1,000 people. Is that correct?
Yes.
So using Dick Cheney's reasoning, why would it not be appropriate for Muslims to kidnap you and torture you? Were any of the people that the CIA captured and tortured, were they involved in flying those airplanes on 9/11?
No.
Were 100% of those who perpetrated 9/11 already dead?
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah.
Yeah. So this notion that because you are associated with an Islamic religious organization, that you're fair game to torture regarding a murderous act, why is it any different than Muslims saying, you're an American, as an American, I have every right to behead you because, look, you killed hundreds of thousands of Muslims.
Technically, I paid for them to do that. So
yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Maybe they have a better point. I mean, maybe they have a point. But no, there's no difference. There's no difference between that. If a Muslim would kidnap me and torture me Because it would be the exact same thing.
Exact same thing. If his justification is valid, let me give you another example. You're not a political individual, but if you were a member of the Republican Party and you voted for George W. Bush, or worse, you made donations to the campaign of George W. Bush, or you arranged and worked in the campaign of George W. Bush, and George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, collectively come up with the idea that we should torture Muslims. Now, as an individual who is directly associated with the ascendancy of the Bush-Cheney team, now, wouldn't you be as fair a game to torture as a Muslim?
You would think, yeah. I mean, based off of his reasoning, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney should be the two most wanted people in all of the Middle East.
They should. You know, there is no evidence whatsoever that the 9/11 attack was conceived by Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. There is 100% irrefutable evidence, total and complete, undeniable, irrefutable evidence that it was conceived by Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines. We already had him under lock and key. He was already convicted of the first World Trade Center bombing. Kind of should have been an obvious place for us to look. We actually had copies of his plans, which included the training of Muslims in American flight schools, the hijacking of airplanes, which, still full of fuel, would be flown into the specific targets we see attacked on 9/11. The exact plan that was perpetrated on 9/11 was conceived 5 years in advance by Ramzi Youssef and known to the FBI and CIA 5 years in advance. He had been the very person who orchestrated the first bombing of the World Trade Center. He was convicted of that crime. He told the prosecutors and judicial authorities that it wasn't over for the World Trade Center, that something awaited them, that they would no longer stand, as he was being transported to the Supermax prison. So what in the world are we doing torturing Al-Qaeda members? How many of those that America tortured, and it's way over 1,000 individuals, participated in 9/11? You're going to use 9/11 as the equivalence. How many of those thousands that America tortured participated in 9/11? The answer is zero. All right, let's open it up. How many of those that America tortured were even aware of the 9/11 plan before it occurred? The answer would be one, Sheikh Khalid Mohammed. Now, Sheikh Khalid Mohammed, who is called by the ignorant media and this government as the mastermind of 9/11, is not. He was simply a courier of the plan. One of his, and I don't know if it is Ramzi Youssef's sisters or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's sisters, they were offered to one another when they were in the Philippines and there was a intermarriage between families. They were related. And so when Ramzi Youssef conceived the plan for 9/11, exactly as it was carried out, so he's the mastermind, all Khalid Sheikh Mohammed can be attributed or can be credited with is communicating his plan to others. And even in that regard, I'm not even sure he can be credited, because, you see, shortly after Ramzi Youssef conceived the plan for 9/11, and in intimate detail, I mean, right down to the flight schools that would be used, how the Muslims would be kept in the dark. The Muslims actually perpetrated 9/11, didn't know what they were going to do until the day of the attack. So all of that detail as to how it was going to be perpetrated, where the targets for it, the airplanes that were going to be used, how they the suicide bombers would be prepared. All of it was detailed by Ramzi Youssef. Shortly after he detailed it, he was being investigated for two things. One is the plot to blend liquids concealed in cosmetic containers on carry-on luggage so that it would form a bomb that would be positioned in a seat over the wing of the aircraft. That was his plan as well, and he actually demonstrated his plan on a trans-Pacific flight from the Philippines to Japan. Killed, I think, one person. Damaged, but did not destroy an airplane. And he also wanted to just to kill the Pope, and who knows why. The Pope was hugely pro-Islam, but Muslims aren't rational, so what do you expect? And so he was being investigated by the Philippine government for those two things, and they raided his home, and in his home, they seized his computer, and on his computer was the plan for 9/11. That information was not only given to this American CIA and to the American FBI 5 years before 9/11 occurred, but it was also made public. You can read about it in the whole detail in public journalistic reports. So since it was published, and since Ramzi Youssef was a hero among fundamental Muslims for the first bombing of the World Trade Center, and for Ramzi Youssef's affiliation with Abrahman, the blind sheikh that was responsible for inspiring the murder of Anwar Sadat, there was no even need for a courier of that plan. So Sheikh Khalid Mohammed is irrelevant to it. And we just simply murdered bin Laden. We didn't torture him. So there was no one else that was tortured that even knew of the plan in advance. Not a single person was tortured that knew of the plan in advance. So you can't equate it. You know, it's like saying I'm going to kidnap and torture every Republican that voted for George W. Bush because they empowered this kind of behavior. Well, they would have had no way of knowing that George W. Bush was going to be that immoral, that insane, that ruthless a president. Now, I would also ask you then this question. Of those 1,000 or more that the United States tortured, how many of them did the United States properly arrest, properly indict, properly try evidence in a court of law, and properly convict so that they would have a justification for holding them accountable for 9/11. How many of those thousands was there any due process? The answer is zero. We were simply savages on a witch hunt. How is what happened during the Salem witch trials, where suspected witches were tortured to elicit confessions, and what the George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice trio did with regard to torture of Muslims? Well, why is it any different? Was there a single one of these Muslims that was engaged in 9/11? No, not one. Not one. Not one of them perpetrated 9/11. Only one of them actually knew about 9/11 in advance. And he was simply a courier of the information. Not a single one of those who was tortured by the United States was properly arrested, indicted, tried, or convicted of perpetrating any crime against America. I don't think there's a single one of those that were tortured that actually killed an American. Not one. And let's just say that we had behaved appropriately and that we properly arrested and extradited and then tried and convicted these people, and that we showed that they had direct knowledge of and were directly contributing towards 9/11. Would torturing them be an appropriate response? Or have we gone to the point we are so depraved that we think that torture is an appropriate sentence? If so, I guess you have something in common with the Christian God who is going to torture those who don't submit to him. And I'm bringing this up again because a significant number of Americans don't seem to care. They think it's all right that we torture these Muslims. After all, they draw the connection between them and what happened in 9/11. They're just like Dick Cheney, scum. Morally incapable. Morally incompetent. We have our friend Kirk here, and I'd love to have his response to all of this. Hello, Kirk.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
It's pouring down raining in Northern California. So.
Yes, I know. You know, the good thing about that is they always tell us that even when it rains in Southern California, the drought doesn't end because we get our water from NorCal and the snowpack. And my goodness, can you imagine the amount of snow there must be in the Sierras after with this like the 10th band of rain that you guys have had in the last 2 months?
Well, we had 4 inches last week and 4 inches this week on just on two of the days that it was raining. And of course, it's still raining now, so we have about 3 more days of rain. So that the Folsom Lake has raised up quite a bit. So it's getting big. It's got a lot of water.
I drove by this weekend Kachuma, which is the primary reservoir for the central coast town of Santa Barbara. And it is still way far more than 100 feet below its normal level. I mean, it was to look at this reservoir and to see the boat ramp and to stand at the edge of the boat ramp, which I'd been to before, a little lunch place there, and the water, you know, laps up, you know, the top of the boat ramp. And to see the docks now, the boat ramp doesn't even go a quarter of the way down to the water level. And to see the marina now is a temporary marina that rather than being up near the boat ramp is 150 vertical feet below you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got a ways to go in Southern California, but we're expecting more rain. We had 3.5 inches on this last storm and 3 inches the week before.
Yeah. I called because this morning, you know, as you were talking about all this, based on Cheney and all his little cohorts,
yeah.
All the news broke and I was listening to the radio driving around, and there was only one channel where they even thought it was a bad idea that we tortured people, which is
pretty,
yeah, seriously.
Wow.
And there's, when you see how... Yeah, I'm starting to understand how Yahweh said, you know, when the Yehudim entered Israel,
yes,
you know, and they crossed the Jordan and they moved to the Promised Land, and he said, you know, these people after, and he does mention, he watched them for 400 years, or at least he said, these people can't be saved. Their behavior has just gotten so bad and so worse, and that they're unsalvageable.
Right.
And we've just about gotten that way here. I mean, truly.
Yeah. This revelation that the CIA, at direct orders from the White House, from George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice, deliberately and knowingly tortured thousands of people, was about as hideous a revelation and an incriminating a revelation as you could possibly have, indicting this country as a fallen nation. But then when you realize that not only were the perpetrators now justifying their acts, which completely destroyed America's credibility the worldwide, devalued America and Americans, but that a significant number of Americans seem to agree with them, to think that it's just fine that we tortured these people. After all, they perpetrated 9/11. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And even if they had, because everyone that perpetrated 9/11 is dead.
Yeah.
That's the thing about, you know, suicide bomber, you only get to do it once.
Yeah.
You can't ever become good as a suicide bomber. You only get one try at it. They're all dead. So not only did they have nothing to do with 9/11, but even if they had, don't you think that you ought to pay some attention to the U.S. Constitution, which says we can't do that? Cruel and unusual treatment? It's a constitutional prohibition against what we did. So we can violate our own constitution and become as vile as the Roman Catholic Church was during the Inquisition?
And it's not a minor outpost somewhere. This was a large-scale operation. And
worldwide, right?
And no one stood up and said, you know, I can't stand that. I mean, where was the Snowden military guy?
Yes.
Said, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, where was the Snowden relative to announcing this?
Yeah.
Actually, I think there was a woman who is a journalist who was given some insight into this. But realistically, we were told all about this with Abu Ghraib. When Abu Ghraib pictures emerged of Muslims being tortured,
mm-hmm.
And that those who perpetrated the torture said that they were directed to do so by the CIA, and that the CIA then said, we were directed to do so by the Bush administration, and the Bush administration said that they had had this reviewed by their attorney general and approved. At that point, we ought to have known that if the United States is torturing Muslims in Iraq, that we're torturing Muslims the world over.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think, as I look down the road a ways, when by the time of the Teruah harvest,
mm-hmm.
when we're taken out,
mm-hmm.
those of us who are still alive,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end, or right shortly after that, when the Jews are forced back to Israel,
mm-hmm.
Israel, there won't be anybody here to save
if we
keep, you know, they're really, I can't see you.
No.
That's,
we are our own worst enemy. You know, the old line, I've met the enemy, and the enemy is us. Americans, generally, have become morally corrupt. You know, we support a military that is awesomely destructive and invasive. We support not only terrorist tactics being used against our foes, but we justify torture. And so when Americans continue to elect people that are this depraved and then continue to support them, there really is nothing here to save.
Do you know your point that you always make about we'd be safer if we had an armed civilian militia?
Yeah, well, I'd say we'd be safer if we did not have a military. If we disbanded our military, our CIA and the NSA tomorrow, and we were completely without a military and completely without a spy apparatus, and that we simply, and I don't want to have civilian militias. What I wanted to have was that we honored the Second Amendment, give people the right to keep and to bear arms, the kind of arms that would be used in a militia, then America would be vastly safer.
Yeah. Well, obviously, if you arm a populace like we did in the Middle East, you can't beat these people.
No.
You can't conquer them. So, I mean, that proves your point. If
nothing. Boy, you know, I never thought about that. But the proof of that, it happens to be in Iraq. In Iraq, we armed the awakening Sunni Muslims that became the Islamic State.
Mm-hmm.
And in Syria, we armed the Sunni jihadists that were originally trying to bring down the Shia regime of Assad.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they have joined forces and become the Islamic State, what they are proving is that if civilians are well armed, that even a large military is incapable of invading and conquering them. Wow. It's perfect, absolute evidence that an armed civilian, if civilians are armed, well armed, that their country is impervious from occupation.
And this thing where you torture someone to get information, if you're fighting against a military and you capture someone in a village like in Vietnam, and I'm talking hearsay now, but I've mm-hmm. talked to some serious veterans who told me these things,
mm-hmm.
they could extract information rather cruelly from people to find out where a troop movement is. Mm-hmm. But if you're fighting a disorganized group, what can you get from them? I
right,
mean,
there are
know,
no troop movements.
There's no troop movement to say, okay, then he told us they're coming down the highway, you know, and then you go over there and you wipe out their trucks. But there isn't.
Yeah. And I would tell you that when, for example, in Vietnam, we would capture a communist Vietnamese, and we would torture them to find out about troop movements. I can tell you that two things resulted from that are certain, and that the probability of useful information is almost non-existent. That A, the person being tortured said anything, and mostly lied, to bring the torture to an end.
Sure.
And B, that the person who inflicted the torture was so injured by what they did that they were prone to suicide. They could not live with themselves, which is one of the reasons that we're losing 80 veterans a day to suicide. The perpetrator of torture destroys themselves. And the likelihood of getting useful information is somewhere between slim and none. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So, Kirk, when Dick Cheney says, with respect to trying to find that as torture, I come back to the proposition torture was what the Al-Qaeda terrorists did to 3,000 Americans on 9/11. So he wants to have you believe that the classic definition of torture, which is to inflict severe pain over long periods of time to elicit a confession, which is precisely what we did. That's the classic definition of torture.
Mm-hmm.
Should not be considered, but instead we should consider suicide bombing as torture. So suicide bombing equals torture, and classic definition of torture does not equal torture. Is that the premise that he's working off of here?
Well, as we said, I mean, it's a false premise, but it's no doubt torture, whether the Roman Catholic Church did it, or whether the Nazis did it, or the Russians did it under Stalin and Khrushchev and so forth, it's the same stuff. I mean, it's just disgustingly evil.
Disgustingly evil. I would say that torture ranks up there with pedophilia and incest as the worst crimes a human being can do. It's worse than murder. Torture, I think, is worse than mass murder, even.
It's indefensible. I mean, death is death, you know, and if you shoot somebody and they die, that's tragic.
It's bad. It's bad, but there are levels of bad. And, you know, you can't, you know, bearing false witness and defrauding your neighbor out of $10 is bad. Mm-hmm. But it does not compare an evil to killing your neighbor.
No.
And killing your neighbor, while horrible, does not compare to kidnapping your neighbor and over a period of months systematically torturing your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Now, Terry made the point this morning that even if you arrested this guy, Cheney, and tortured him, he would feel himself more of a martyr, you know, for doing the right thing. I mean, he wouldn't get it.
In this case, I wouldn't care. I mean,
listen,
do I care that fundamentalist Muslims were tortured? No.
Yeah.
They are reprehensible.
Yeah.
They give up any sense of human concern when they choose to be fundamentalist Muslims. They are, it's like, Ebola is a life form. Do I care that Ebola is stamped out? No. Do I care that the virus that is responsible for Ebola is killed? No. Do I care that the disease that carries the most ruthless pathogen ever known to humankind, Islam, is killed? No. I don't care. What I care is when someone does it in my name, when Americans do it and then justify it. Oh my God! At that point, I cringe, and then it makes me even sicker when we have the likes of Dick Cheney justifying it, and sicker still, when a significant percentage of Americans agree with him. It just says we've lost our way.
Well, you know, I got really sick last night listening to the prime minister. You know, I have my two sisters live in Australia, and I grew up there. And I'm listening to this prime minister talk about it. But he can't understand what the motive is. And I mean, he chooses to not know, or he chooses to be stupid, you know, on purpose.
Right.
But the fact that Australia's fallen the same way, I mean, they used to be different. They were independent. In the sense that they didn't take a lot of crap from England, and they didn't take a whole lot from us. You know, they just kind of felt
nasty. But here he presents that he's totally shocked that somebody would do this for a political agenda.
Yeah.
And A, it wasn't a political agenda. It was a religious agenda. The religious agenda was one particular religion, Islam. And since Islam is doing this the world over, why would anybody be surprised? I mean, how could you be that ignorant to be surprised? And why would you, as a nation, Australia, tolerate a prime minister who's lying to you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you elect somebody that ignorant?
Let's see. A guy takes a big black flag with Muslim writings, and he puts it in the window, and he kidnaps all these people, and you can't figure out what his motivation is. I mean,
you have 19 Muslims.
I was saying this last night, and I'm looking, duh.
Yeah, you have 19 Muslims who are shouting Allahu Akbar, the Islamic prayer of fear, into the flight recorders and citing Quran verses as they perpetrate their suicide bombing, and you need a study to figure out what their motivation was, and after your study you still can't figure it out, and the best you can do is to call them terrorists?
A big clue.
Here's your sign. Are your eyes open? Are your ears open? Is your mind open? Or are you just going to go through the rest of your life being stupid?